Welcome to a case closed review from ReverseThieves.com. In these short podcasts, we discuss our final thoughts on anime that finished up in the most recent season.
So, this time we are wrapping up the best that we can. Pop Team Epic from Kamikaze Doga, and it's streaming on pretty much everything. It might be on Crackle, I don't know. Who knows what's on Crackle? But pretty much anything else that regularly has anime, other than maybe Netflix, you look, it has Pop Team Epic on it.
And the differences, though, is that certain ones have different subtitle tracks that give you more information. So we were watching it on Crunchyroll, which is sort of like the bare bones version. And we just looked up all the things so that we would know things. But Pop Team Epic is about Papako and Pee-Pee-Me, and
they do shit.
Like, yeah, I was actually having a long conversation about this will make sense. I'm pulling an Al here. Is that we were talking about The Simpsons, and we were talking about like when The Simpsons used to be good, or when The Simpsons is good. Why is it good? And you know, it was just kind of talking about how the series didn't used to be so wedded to character personalities or what would the characters do. It was just, this is in service to the jokes that need to be told, and if it works for that personality, fine, but it's okay to, like, go off to make the joke work. And I feel as though, after having that conversation, it made me think about what makes Pop Team Epic work. And I think it's also just this, there's no devotion to who these characters are, except that they're willing to do things, and maybe Papako is slightly more feral, I don't know, like, sometimes, but Pee-Pee-Me is not afraid to get her hands dirty, like, so...
So I was explaining to my sister, trying to explain what Pop Team Epic was, and there was basically two jokes that I'm like, all right, you either enjoy these jokes or you don't. So one, which is what I think like the epitome of Pee-Pee-Me, is the one where she tries out the hybrid car, and the person trying to sell her the hybrid car is like, and look at the sporty red color. And she's like, yes. How much better to hide the blood of my victims. And the guy just like pauses and doesn't know what to do. And then he's like, and the engine makes no noise. And she's like, yes, so I can kill silently. And the other one is Pee-Pee-Me. She meets this guy, which was, I'm surprised they didn't. This guy is, the person in this joke is in the background of a bunch of the jokes, but they never use this one joke, which is Pee-Pee-Me meets this guy with a record on his shirt, and he goes, I am a god. And she goes, you don't look like no god to me. And he goes, there are many gods, and they come in all guises. I just happen to be the god of Eurobeat. And then he whips out, like, this huge DJ table and starts spinning, like, some Eurobeat. And then Pee-Pee-Me just dances to it. And that's that.
I feel I really liked all the moments. Like, those are probably, like, the most absurd. But I did, like, pretty much like anything that involved violence in this series. Because there's sort of that early episode where there's like Papako clone army, and also the world is dystopian, and there's like a throne, and they've clearly like killed millions of people.
By the way, this started out as pretty much a VH1 Behind the Music of the rise of Pee-Pee-Me as a star idol.
So, like, that, or the whole episode that's basically, like, a giant Yakuza movie of Papako and Pee-Pee-Me. Just very, like, intense. that sort of, like, anything with the violence was just so good.
Just because you mentioned those two, the one I really loved was the New York story.
I was about to bring that one up, too. The 80s movie / New York.
Like, this is my coming-of-age story. I'm, you know, with the framing device, I'm telling you as an old man, and then you only get to see what I've become at the very end and why I'm telling this story the way I am at the very end. I won't ruin that one, but damn, that reveal of who that kid grows up to, I think, is just brilliant.
And I realize that our review has basically just turned into us talking about our favorite parts, but there's not a lot to review specifically. It's really about that, the way that the humor is delivered, and it's very fast. You know, the series has a lot of segments, and not all of them work, but I feel as though they work more often than they don't.
Unless they're a Bob Team epic.
And then it only worked one time, which became such a hit, right? Like, mm-hmm. The one time they did it right, everybody really got on board with Hellshake Yano. You might have even seen something about Hellshake Yano, and you didn't know what that was from or why, and, you know, that's here. Of course, the series also has tons of references. It's obviously, you know, big otaku series just has such a love or hate for otaku culture in it. But at the same time, it doesn't feel as though it's just reference humor. I don't feel as though it's just that.
You know, one thing I will say it isn't, and I'll eventually tie into what you were saying, is I saw a lot of people like, this is the ultimate shit post anime. And I feel like the purpose of, like, shitposting is pretty much trolling. You say something to get this negative reaction and get everybody to basically the your favorite anime sucks type of idea. Whereas I feel like Pop Team Epic is just metally aware of fandom and what people think and what people are interested in, but it just tells its jokes with that awareness. I don't feel like it's trying to, like, troll you or, like, get under your skin. It doesn't feel like what I complained about with Zodiac War, where it, like, knows the tropes and then deliberately breaks them in your face for your reaction. Pop Team Epic just tells its jokes because, like, it knows the stuff. Like, it plays the games you have, it's watched the shows you have, and it references a lot of Western stuff as well as Japanese stuff. And, hey man, have a good time with the, you know, basically the jokes that I find funny and the stuff that I find cool. Or the stuff that I find annoying.
I totally agree with you, Al. And I think that there's also plenty of humor that is not based on references. You know, yeah. There is, like, plenty of really good reference humor, but even things that I either didn't know the references in or is not referenced humor, I feel like works. You know, I think a lot of people really loved, and again, sometimes a segment is 30 seconds or less and it still works. Like the one where Pulpico is getting up from bed and it's like, I'm getting up, and this is going out the door, and then the blanket hurls itself at her and is like, oh, and then you go back to sleep. Or the one I mentioned before, the Yakuza one, I don't think I've ever even seen a Yakuza movie. I think I've, you know, seen some Yakuza in anime, but I've never watched, like, oh, I've watched a whole bunch of Yakuza movies. So if there was references in that, which I'm sure there were many, I didn't know them, but it was not important. It still came, like, all the humor still came across.
Like, I only found out afterwards that Before Chicken one is partially a parody of this somewhat popular airline commercial, but
It was way hilarious even without it. Exactly. So I think that's an important thing for references or reference humor to have, mm-hmm. is that maybe it's just something that you want to have on multiple levels. Like, it gets funnier. It's funnier, even funnier if you know this, but it doesn't you don't have to know this to, you know, you don't have to be this tall to ride kind of a thing.
And I think it's also interesting with the, we haven't mentioned this yet, but they have, every episode has new voice actors for the characters, and there's one half with the female voice actors, and then one half with pretty much the same skits with the male voice actors. But from what I understand, the producer, because a lot of the segments have different directors, like, well, the 8-bit stuff has a different director than, say, the main skits or the Bob team. But the producer basically gave the voice actors full license to basically play the script however you want. And so you can very clearly see, depending on who the team of actors were, a lot of, you know, some of them pretty much do the lines as they were written, and then some of them just go off on their tangents however they want.
But again, I think that also kind of speaks to what I was saying at the beginning, is that there's not this slavish devotion to who Popoko is and who PPB is. It almost, switching out voice actors constantly, I think it also sort of helps that feeling of they could be anybody, they could do anything, you know, kind of a feeling.
The one that, like, strikes me the most is the one where Peep-a-Me becomes a little baby, and the female voice actresses, because the line is just baby, right? But the female actresses do the baby from that song, for I forget which one it is, but it's, I know it's in one of the in the first Awendon game, and she says the babies like they say baby in that song. But when the guys from the Persona game do it, they do the baby, 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 like the fight music from Persona 3. So they basically do the babies in a song that they know. Because it's just the baby on the...
I will say that obviously all the voice actors were great, and they brought their own things to it, but man, that's a lot of reference humor. I mean, that was a lot of...
Do you know these voice actors and what they've done? And usually, like, what's their most famous role together?
Yeah, it's, you know, pairing them up and like, okay, why are they paired here and how does that make this scene funnier? So I think, again, it's just like there's layers, because even if you didn't know, because a lot of times I wouldn't look up the voice actors until after I watched the episode. So I, you know, enjoyed it, found it really funny because they did it this way or that way or whatnot. And then when I looked it up, then it was like, oh, and then like, that's so funny because they did it. You know, these characters did it. I also liked that a lot of times the ending song, you didn't know if, all right, are they going to sing it? Or is it just going to be the standard ending song? You know, how is that going to go?
I did like the one time when they did the opening with, like, the JoJo-style sound effects.
Yeah, there's just, like, a lot to get out of every episode. It was really fun. I will say that sometimes I didn't love it being the same
mm-hmm.
episode twice.
Yeah, it... Because what really helped or hurt that was how much the actors improvised, because yeah, not every duo improvised as well as other ones. So if you had a really great cast that was like, you know, just bouncing off each other that episode, it would make the rerun feel like you were getting a new experience. But other times, if one or both groups read very much on script, it just felt like, if you've ever seen like a dub and then, you know, years later they redub it, it's like, it felt more like that then.
Yeah, and I felt as though seeing it back to back, even when there were segments that I really liked, I think that's a good point about the voice acting out, because that could sort of change it. But I think also, you know, some episodes had a really long segment and then just a few, like, smaller segments. And then sometimes it was most, like, a somewhat long and then a lot of smaller ones. And I feel as though those ones sort of worked a little better for me rewatching them because, oh, it was so quick, like, I didn't catch everything, or, you know, oh, it was just had this moment of punch. But when it was a really long story, it was sort of like, okay, like,
look, I felt like the New York one worked, but that's because both groups of actors really, like, went off script and, like, commented on what the animation was, or just did their own goofadoof stuff. So that one felt like, even though it was a long segment, each group made it their own. Whereas, yeah, there were some long segments where it just felt like, all right, I'm just watching this again now. Either, you know, now the voices are either higher pitched or lower pitched, depending on which one they did first.
And I feel like I could see this series getting another season. I mean, obviously, it adds years to nothing, so it could just go on forever.
No, Kate. You know what? The next season's just going to be Hoshino Girl Drop.
I got tricked because at the very end, it was like, season two! And I was like, yeah! Wait, and then it was pointed out to me that it was, you know, it said the fake show that it was based on. I was like, no, wait, but is that a trick also? Does that mean, does that mean we're also getting more Pop Team Epic?
All I can say is Pop Team Epic starts, and then they just have the whole season be nothing but an actual season. Like, Hoshino Girl Drop breaks in. That strikes me more of an endless eight move, but...
Well, I mean, this guy did write another manga just to then, rip that apart and be like, this has been a Pop Team Epic manga all along! So, you know, they could do half of an entire season of that show and then somehow just things start melting and they burn, you know, the burning of the film, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, it's been a Pop Team Epic show since the beginning, so... I don't discount the possibility of it.
Oh, one last thing, Kate. How did you feel that the last episode wrapped everything up?
Wrapped everything up. Actually, it did, don't you think? Mm-hmm. I mean, again, yeah. It's like, can be endless, but...
Yeah, I did. I was a little surprised. I was like, that actually felt like a nice way for the series to bow out.
Yeah, and...
Or at least for this season.
And I really liked that in the last episode, the first part and second part were very different. Mm-hmm. Not only in the voice acting, but there was definitely different pieces of animation and different things in scenes in the second part.
We got two completely different Pop Team Epic episodes.
I wouldn't have known. I closed my eyes.
I see.
But, yeah, I felt as though they did try to give it, like, a little bit of a story, you know, in the very end there. So, it was very satisfying. But, again, I think I would definitely go for more, if possible.
They've got to introduce the God of Yorubi, Kate. Got to do it.
One last reference to what happened in this show, which is, I think, has become probably famous on the internet now, but that time when they're in the car and it has the sign that says subculture bitch on board is like, that sums it up right there. Like,
thanks for listening to another episode. You can visit us online at reversethieves.com and follow us on Twitter at reversethieves, at nartakiRT, and at hisuiRT.